Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. And I guess we can just continue the conversation that we've had going on for like 10 minutes before we decided to hit record.
No. So what I'm really upset about Fastlane is, because I've been thinking about this for a week, and I will be totally honest with you, like, I was going to do this as a joke, but then, like, things that happened on Raw this week made me more mad at Fastlane.
You got to be freaking kidding me.
I'm not.
I was going to make that joke, too. And now it's not even a joke anymore?
No.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go on.
So here's my... First of all, I do want to say that because I, in my... You just got your phone. You're not even going to...
I pulled up my phone. I'm going to be playing two dots while
I'm not
going to
participate in this podcast.
No, go ahead.
I do want to start out by saying, last week in the Fastlane critique, I did not mention, and I genuinely meant to, I wanted to talk about the Cruiserweight match.
Yes.
Because it was easily the highlight of the night.
Yeah, and like, we literally, at the moment we stopped recording last week, we were like... We should have mentioned the Cruiserweight.
We should have mentioned the Cruiserweight.
Because that was like one of the lone good things to come out of Fastlane.
But not only was it the lone good thing to come out of Fastlane, it was an incredibly good thing to come out of Fastlane. It is one of the, at least WWE Match of the Year contenders, if not Wrestling Match of the Year contenders.
Yeah. And it made, because we knew watching the Cruiserweight Classic that, you know, when it came down to it, Jack Gallagher has the ability to get serious and put on a great match.
Yeah.
They just hadn't really allowed him to do that on 205 Live just yet. Like, we would have flashes of it. There was that that number one contender thing that they did a few months back. Well, what led to this?
Him getting this, yeah.
But
I like that. I feel like the way they've treated him as a character so far, I could very much see this being a blow-off match. And I'm really glad that it got the time that it got to build a really incredible match for these guys.
Right.
Especially considering the show went long by just a handful of minutes. But
right.
This is where I feel like they would have cut for time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they didn't.
No, me neither, yeah.
And one of the biggest things is 205 Live is a good show, but it's still very much finding its footing as far as story and character development. 205 Live is kind of the thing I watch on Wednesdays if I have time. I don't ever watch it live because it's after SmackDown. I'm done.
How great would it be if this became the next like NXT Redemption?
Well, this was like, this match made 205 Live must-watch television.
Oh, sure.
For the first time. Like, it was first episode, second episode, obviously, must-watch. Got to see what they're going to do with this.
Yeah.
And then it kind of...
And if that didn't
like,
do it for you, the next night on Raw with Austin Aries in the interview...
Right.
It definitely made you want to tune into 205 Live. So, or at least it should have. If it didn't, then I don't know what else for them to do for you.
Because that was so the first time in months is like, this is the thing that I'm looking forward to for this week in wrestling is 205 Live.
Yeah.
Which I think is an incredible compliment to these two guys who, they have... You know, one match. And part of the issue that I'm seeing with 205 Live is it's getting all the bad, like, aspects of SmackDown when it was the Raw replay show.
Right.
Where, like, all right, if anything important happens, they're just going to talk about it on Raw because then we're going to have two or three, you know, matches on Raw with the Cruiserweights. So we're kind of like, oh, well, so these two guys were able to put on and to carry a, not only carry this match, but promote this entire show. They're carrying the advertising of the show, basically, on their shoulders, and did an incredible, incredible job of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I am genuinely sorry that I didn't talk about that last week.
Absolutely.
Because I very much feel like that was deserves to be mentioned.
Okay. So, all right, so I feel like that finally puts the period on the sentence that was the Fastlane, like, debacle.
No, I'm still upset at Fastlane, and I'm more upset at Fastlane.
For the purposes of our podcast, like, do you have anything to talk about Fastlane?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God.
Because this week... I'm
taking my phone back again.
Because this week, and it genuinely came out of... "Quote unquote plot development from this week."
Mm-hmm.
It was some like just sitting stew and being like, "I'm real mad at Fastlane," but This week with the Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens development. And they did some last week, but they expounded on it this week as to why these guys are going to have a match at WrestleMania.
Okay.
And they should have a match at WrestleMania.
Yes.
But I there is an issue with WWE, and it's a systemic issue in the company and their storytelling as a whole, where they have an end goal. We're going to have this card at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I understand why you do that. I understand why you build your card first and then work backwards from there. You don't just, you know, tell the story and then like, oh, I guess this is the WrestleMania card.
You find out where your end goal is and then you work towards it.
Right. Yeah. But there's been this terrible issue in years past, but especially this year, of not organically building from where you are now to where you want to be by WrestleMania. And this isn't even a complaint about the WrestleMania card.
Sure.
I understand, like, agree with it or disagree with it. I understand the thought process behind, let's put Goldberg and Brock Lesnar in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
I like I said last week, I came back because Bret Hart had a WrestleMania match.
Sure, right.
So I can't be like, I get this Bret Hart thing. Bringing The Rock back is stupid. Like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't say that this is a dumb idea when it genuinely worked on me. What was that, 7 years ago, 6 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
But there's issues like the fact that Goldberg and Brock agreed to have a match. Like, just because one more try for Brock.
Sure.
Yeah. And I get that that's where you want to go. But there are so many, like, okay, we'll have him interfere in the Fastlane event. Or we'll do this, you know, XYZ to get to this point. We're like, oh, now they got to have a match at WrestleMania. Now it's just, oh, we'll do that. And it's a, we'll do that. And, oh, now it's for the championship. Hooray, hooray. Again, this week, We get to this point where Kevin Owens has come out and said, I am mad at you, Chris Jericho, for interrupting this, and I will show you how it feels by taking away your championship. That is his motivation for going into a Chris Jericho-Kevin Owens feud at WrestleMania, which is in complete and utter contrast to Kevin Owens' character up to this point. Kevin Owens, since his debut in NXT, has been about what will make him the most money so he can provide for his family. And he's come out and flat out said, what will make me the most money is the main events and being champion. Champions get paid more, main event cards get paid more.
Okay.
Kevin Owens has a rematch clause.
Right.
Which is being ignored.
Yeah.
Which does not make sense for Kevin Owens.
No, not at all.
And I feel that it's not hard to put these pieces together. It's not hard to put the building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have the Fastlane match. It doesn't have to be a long match. It has to be, like I said last week, a 5-minute match.
Sure.
Kevin Owens gets 2 punches of offense. Goldberg, you know, takes a hit, gets up because he's fine, because he's Goldberg.
Sure.
You know, swing, block, spear, jackhammer, pin.
Right.
But it's a clean match. Goldberg comes out. You come out on Raw the next night, which Goldberg is already at. We know Goldberg's there.
Right.
Kevin Owens is mad. Kevin Owens wants his rematch clause then, down there, tonight, which would have been last week.
Right.
And he has to have it. It's a rematch clause. We're doing the rematch tonight. That's when Chris Jericho comes out.
Right. Okay.
Chris Jericho ruins the rematch. Then you get... And that match that was so frustrating to watch on Fastlane, on a pay-per-view, would have been a fine Raw main event.
Right.
Raw is all about the storytelling. That is a storytelling plot point. That would have been a perfectly acceptable way to end Raw.
Sure.
Which then you get this week opening up with Kevin Owens, no title, no rematch clause, no nothing at WrestleMania.
So for, in order for the prize fighter to get more money would be to go after the United States Championship
right.
that Jericho has.
Which gives you the exact same card that you wanted.
Sure.
WWE. Yeah. We're then in the same place where we are. That also gives Goldberg another reason to come out this week, because Goldberg, again, we have to have this weird padding. Goldberg wasn't there this week.
No.
Which, like I said last week, Goldberg's got to be there 4 weeks. He's got to be champion for 4 weeks. And he's missing shows. Like, that's not...
But you didn't think he was actually going to be at every Raw. Though.
I did not think he was going to do that, obviously. Right. But now we're stuck in this. Brock came out this week to say some mean things. Goldberg will be there next week to say some mean things, and Brock won't be there. And then they'll both be there a week after so they can glare at each other.
Yeah.
And you bump that 1 week where Goldberg had a match last week, and then he has to come out this week just to get F5'd like he was last week.
Mm-hmm.
And you push that forward 1 week, and then you can get Goldberg on every show.
Sure.
This is bleeding more into frustrations with WrestleMania build as it is in general.
Right. I mean, especially because, you know, we run into almost like WrestleMania season fatigue, where it's like they get to where they want to be too early, and then they just got to fill time for those last couple of weeks.
Right.
You know, whereas what you're proposing basically would have given them one extra week.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, to compare it to SmackDown has done an amazing job essentially padding out. They've had three main event SmackDowns trying to figure out their main event for...
Right.
Who's going to challenge Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, and the only complaint I would have there is up until the most recent episode, the tag team division kind of got lost in the shuffle.
For SmackDown,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially the American Alphas, like the champs, where are they? They got put in the main event, but they did kind of get overshadowed by, you know, Shane backstage camp.
But I like that they say, all right, this is WrestleMania. This is where we are now. We have six shows between now and then. So we need six storytelling beats for this feud to get to this point.
Yeah.
Whereas Raw seems to be like, oh, we're here now. Here's WrestleMania. Six shows in between. Here's the card.
Yeah.
Like nothing for the next five weeks.
It's like, let's just get to the finish line already and we'll just...
And I get that you need time to hype stuff. Right. I get that if you're like the Monday before WrestleMania. Yeah.
I mean, well, that's why they went ahead and they made the card Goldberg and Brock Lesnar right off the bat, like the first thing that they did. So they have their marquee match and then you fill up the undercard, you know.
Right.
But waiting one more week wouldn't have killed them. You know,
no, it would not have. Plus, we still knew it was going to be Goldberg and Brock. You said that 3 weeks earlier, 4 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
But now we're stuck in this, and it doubly hurts because of part-timers. And we ran into this issue this week when Roman called out Undertaker and Shawn Michaels came out instead.
Right.
And I know that the gong hit ahead of time, but in kayfabe, is Undertaker there every week and just nobody ever calls him out?
Well, in kayfabe, he's a being of dark magic that when he's summoned, he can be anywhere if he truly wants to be there, or you can just hear his voice while a chair gets, you know, set on fire by lightning.
So,
and then he can magically display text on the Tron.
I understand these guys are part-timers. I understand they have a certain number of dates to fill.
Mm-hmm.
But with the exception of Brock Lesnar, who I think genuinely doesn't care about this and is 100% in it for the money.
Yeah.
Don't these guys, at least to some extent, care about their character, their prestige, their art, for a lack of a better word? Like, how hard is it to go to a different city every Monday when you're not doing house shows, you're not doing any traveling, mm-hmm. you fly out Monday afternoon, you fly home after the show. WWE, I'm assuming, would be beyond thrilled if Goldberg and The Undertaker were willing to show up every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Not all year, for 6 weeks. Let's go to six Mondays. They would happily do all the traveling accommodations that they can.
Mm-hmm.
And just using The Undertaker as a specific example, his last several years, the entertainment and the impact of his WrestleMania story has been marred, or at the very least dampened, by his not being there. Like, the last exciting build-up to an Undertaker match, I would say, is CM Punk, WrestleMania 29. And that is just because the timing worked out.
Yeah, because, I mean, we weren't exactly thrilled about Taker and Lesnar.
No, Taker and Lesnar felt paint by numbers for the build-up.
For the build-up.
He was
that outcome, but the build-up felt that way.
He wasn't there at all for 31 for, what's his name, Bray.
32 was just, like, weird.
32 he's this weird,
like, Vince McMahon avatar now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which feels wildly out of character.
Right.
And feels like just because he has to be at WrestleMania. And so, I don't know. It's felt, you know, for the past 3 years that every WrestleMania could be Undertaker's last WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. We're going into each one assuming it's a strong possibility.
And if that's the case,
this is Undertaker's, you know, swan song, his last ride.
Right.
Does he not want, this is a character that he has lived with
mm-hmm.
for decades.
And you would think both he and the WWE would want to do something interesting, special, whatever the adjective you want to throw in there, to send off that character.
Mm-hmm.
And
things like this, things like this week, it feels like he can't be bothered.
Right. And again, it's not just them. It's a lot of the part-timers. Mm-hmm. You know, it is one of the things where you ask, you know, do they care about how their character is portrayed, or how, like, do they care about the buildup or anything? Like, clearly the answer is no, as long as they get their crap in.
Well, and, like,
you know what I mean?
Again,
as long as they look good on the day. Yeah.
Certain examples, Brock Lesnar, I think he would job to Ellsworth if the check cleared.
okay.
The Rock.
Him more so than other part-timers, right. Sure, yeah.
The Rock, busy. He's a genuinely busy human.
He might be the busiest man in Hollywood.
Like, if it's like, I can't come to these Mondays because busy.
Yeah.
He's busy.
He makes an HBO documentary in his off time that's premiering soon.
Yeah.
You know?
But guys like Goldberg, who's coming back for what I'm assuming is a swan song. Mm-hmm. Guys like The Undertaker, who, again, very strong possibility this is his last WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It kind of feels like, do you care? Like, maybe you don't, and if you don't, and you're here, because it is a job, and mm-hmm. whatever, if that's the case.
If it's
like, no, you don't pay me enough, and WWE goes, we can do some lights, and we don't need it. Because, you know, they can. They can do some fancy lights. They can do the special effects. Undertaker doesn't actually have to be there.
If they cared. If they even liked. And again, this probably will put Undertaker, you know, aside.
Mm-hmm.
But if they even liked professional wrestling,
mm-hmm.
they would be doing this whether they were in WWE or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They would be working indie shows. They would be doing all these fun shows that are over in the UK, or, you know, Ring of Honor shows, or whatever. They would be doing all that. How many of those shows has Goldberg done in the last 12 years?
I don't think Goldberg likes wrestling. Right. But I think he likes being a superhero.
Right.
And I think he cares about the Goldberg character. I think he's proud of...
But only on the biggest stage, that is WWE, mm-hmm. and for the most money.
No, yeah.
Which is fine. Like, if you're...
I can see an argument like anything else taints the Superman-ness of Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Like Superman doesn't stop street alley crime anymore. Superman saves the world.
Right.
And that's how he views Goldberg. And... disagreement, and you can get into a lot of arguments about Superman does stop street alley, like,
sure,
but that's, you know, comic book issue, wrestling issue. While I disagree with that, I can see that thought process. I can see a urge to protect the Goldberg character.
Yeah. And a lot of it comes down to he hadn't done this in front of his kid before, mm-hmm. and he wants to look like a superhero in front of his kid, which is fine, whatever. But if that was the case, then he should have ended it at Survivor Series. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because now it's like he's kind of holding us all over a barrel. For this one goal for his kid, which is fine, which I understand. Like, that's fine. But
it makes me...
At least act like you give a crap.
With both of those guys, specifically this year, their lack of being on the show physically makes me worry about their ability to perform on the day.
Yeah.
Because
we haven't seen...
AJ, not a worry in my mind. Seth Rollins, not a worry in my mind. Triple H, who is a part-timer now, not a worry in my mind, because this week I watched him go in the ring. I watched him take some bumps. I watched him...
And he's
respond in kind.
And he started doing house shows this past week as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Granted, there are house shows at, like, Madison Square Garden, but still, there are mm-hmm. house shows.
Yeah. I don't need a lot, you know? Yeah. Again, like, my wish for Fastlane was hit, block, spear, jackhammer.
Yeah, I was about to say, seeing Triple H in the ring just on this one Monday Night Raw showed us more than... Both matches that we've seen Goldberg in, including the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't. And again, the names on the marquee are a big deal. But I don't go into this match with excitement. I go into it with serious trepidation.
Right.
And not like I did last year, because last year...
Last year, I was almost willing to give WWE an out just because they were so strapped for talent because of all the injuries.
As much as I disagreed with that match, I had every confidence that these guys were going to put on a lengthy wrestling match. And I thought it would be a fine match, like, as far as technical.
You're talking about last year's main event?
I'm talking about, Triple H, Roman Reigns.
Well, I knew it was Triple H involved. We knew the match had, you know, the potential to be lengthy.
Well, it was going to be lengthy. It was going to be back and forth. And I had every reason to assume it would be a perfectly fine match. Turns out it wasn't.
Turns out we got a snooze fest, but yes.
But there's no actual reason for that. My feeling was, are they going to pull the trigger nobody wants them to pull? And how is the crowd going to respond?
Right. This year... No, their way of going about it was they put the crowd to sleep before they got there.
Well, but this year my worry is, like, can they do it? Is it physically possible for the match they said is going to happen to happen?
It's gonna be less than 10 minutes.
It's gonna be less than
10 minutes.
Okay,
which is fine because we all complained about how long the show was. Last year the show was like 8 hours.
It was coming close. It was like a full work day.
No, it was seven.
It was a solid 7 hours.
And then all predictions are 6.5 this year. It's like, oh yeah, that half hour they trimmed off because that Brock Lesnar Goldberg match is only going to be a half hour, or not? Excuse me, not even a half hour. Maybe like 10-15 minutes.
Yeah. So.
Was there anything else specifically from this week that you wanted to touch on?
A couple of things
before I go on to this next subject.
Yeah, a couple of things from Raw this week.
Okay.
One, Roman took a really nice bump from Braun Strowman.
Yeah. I feel like he's been watching his cousin, sell the stunner. I'm talking about The Rock.
Yeah.
That one, because we all know that one sell to mm-hmm. the Stone Cold Stunner.
Yeah.
And it kind of looked like that a little bit.
Like, There was some talk afterwards. He took a nice kick to the face in his match.
Against Don't Hinder the Gender.
Yeah. Yes. And so we're like, look at it. I was like, yeah, that was good. But his commitment to ragdolling back down that ramp.
See, okay. This is something I am consistently in awe of with wrestlers. You know it's coming. Mm-hmm. You know how you don't clinch or, you know, or just, you know, or flinch or whatever when you know it's coming and you can't see it and it's coming from behind you.
Yeah.
Because anytime, like, if we're like, okay. Mm-hmm. Whenever we were doing my dumb short film, that was that part where Beers, like, it wasn't in the script, but Beardsley would come around and smack me on the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
Totally ad-libbed at the time. I was like, oh, it'd be funny if you did this when you walk by. And so the next time, we're like, all right, we're going to do it. But we had to keep doing it because I kept flinching. Yeah. I knew it was coming. Somebody had did a still image of Braun Strowman, like, literally centimeters off of Roman, about to make the hit, and his body is literally a blur, and Roman is perfectly in frame, in focus, just as chill, like you would think he is on the front of the Titanic, you know, just chilling, looking at the horizon, and here comes this giant steam engine behind him, and it's just like I don't understand how you're not flinching, you know.
So I want to give the man props for that.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Okay, because we got on this in this, we got on this a little bit on the subject I'm going to talk about later, but no one is saying that Roman Reigns is a terrible wrestler,
yeah,
or terrible at his job. He's perfectly adequate.
Mm-hmm.
We all think he would be amazing as a heel, especially in the current wrestling climate.
Yeah,
with his current character, just make it lean more into the heel side and you would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Be the best heel in the company. It's just the way that they're booking him.
Yeah.
Makes us all hate it. And is it unfair to him? You know, specifically him? Yeah, it's kind of unfair. Like, yeah, there are some things he could do, like really tiny things that he could do that would make things a lot better. But by and large, it's not even his fault. You know,
it's not his fault. But
like, would you put up a fight if WWE says, like, all right, we're gonna have you win this championship clean? Like, no, like no, absolutely. Take that. There's your payday.
Yeah, it's not his fault, but he's getting a mighty pretty penny to get booed.
Oh,
and
sure.
So like,
fine. Yeah,
I feel bad for him because he is not able to achieve his true potential due to his boss.
Yes,
but okay, how many of you have complaints
poor
about work?
Billionaire.
Yeah, how many of you have complaints about work? Like, I could be so much better at my job if my boss would let me do what I'm good at. Like, that's
sure.
That's not an uncommon work complaint.
Right.
So
I've been given all of these promotions unfairly. I should say something.
So, yeah.
Right.
I will say this. This week on Raw, they replayed a clip of him coming down to face The Undertaker the previous week.
Yeah, they did.
And they did not dampen the boos. The boos were loud and clear.
Yep.
As strong as I remember them from the week before.
Yep.
And like, I don't know, that's,
it gives you a little bit of hope.
That's the thing, is like, I don't want to be like, that's a sign.
Right.
It will, I don't know how he beats The Undertaker.
Well, in that case, I might as well go ahead and bring up what I was going to bring up later, because a lot of rumors are going around today that Roman, like, the plan now is for the next WrestleMania, the, like, loose plans for WrestleMania 34 is Roman versus Brock for the WWE, or for the Universal Championship, and basically Roman getting the coronation that they originally wanted him to get at the end of WrestleMania 31 until fans lost their minds when Roman won the Royal Rumble.
I don't think that will happen.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's over a year from now.
Yeah, or you know what? If it happens, I don't think it will be because they have stayed true to a plan from this point in time for over a year.
I still think it would be I really think there's always money in a Shield triple threat for a championship. And, you know, some parts would have to move now that Dean is on SmackDown and everything, but you could still make it happen. You know, I still think there's a lot of money in it. And New Orleans is, you know, you saw how well, you know, everything worked for them at WrestleMania 30. I feel like that would be a match they would get behind.
I will.
Granted, it's the same crowd that you have this year.
Yeah,
that's the dirty secret that WWE doesn't like to admit, that it's the same crowd at WrestleMania.
It's the crowd that pays the money and flies the planes.
Yeah, and usually those aren't Roman Reigns fans,
no.
Or Cena fans for that matter.
No,
they're not little kids.
I will say we're headed towards WrestleMania 35,
mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna be surprised if they don't start really writing some checks out to The Rock.
Yeah.
To get him back in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised that they have been able to work that out.
Yeah.
In the past, what, 4 years? Because it was WrestleMania, or 5 years.
29 was the last one.
Yeah.
So.
It'll be 4 years this year. That's
yeah, this year is 4 years.
So I'm honestly surprised that they haven't, you know, try to work that out. And again, a lot of that has to do with scheduling.
Like
he would have to at this point, he would have to way ahead of time purposely take out time for WWE. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, like, his schedule is not letting up anytime soon.
Yeah.
By design, you know, and good for
him.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Good for him and all that jazz. But I feel like,
there's only so much time that he's going to physically be able, and you know, he's, and that's the thing, like, he's gonna have to kind of plan ahead of time in case things kind of go wrong, because the last couple of times he's come back for a match at WrestleMania, he's gotten hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't sell it, you know, and he didn't tell anybody until the day after, but you know, he's gonna have to also take into account that he might get hurt, and he might have to take time off from whatever he's got planned after that WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that's just a lot of, that's a big chunk of time for him that I understand that he's not exactly willing to give up.
I get it. I very much get it. And I understand, like, oh, he could just come out and down for the day.
Yeah.
And they'll get the same Rock pop with that they do, you know, at 30 through 32 that they've done.
Here's a fun question. Who do you think The Rock is going to bury this year?
Ellsworth.
Okay.
He's a heel now.
Oh, you're right. you know what? I'm okay with that, because he's just, Ellsworth is the catch-all for everything. It was like, so we need somebody to get beat. Ellsworth, get out there.
I hope it is, because, like, I really wish I could go back in time to this guy who is getting his nothing jobber debut to get destroyed by this guy in another truly awful monster build, and like, just take him aside and be like, yeah, man, you're fighting The Rock at WrestleMania in a year,
right? Yeah, you know what, that makes me feel
like,
you know, it'd be a
you know how I've always said the reason that I gravitate to The Miz he's the fan that was just like all of us, who were like, I'm gonna be a wrestler when I grow up, I'm gonna be a WWE superstar. And then we're like, oh, no, potato chips, man. And The Miz wasn't. The Miz is the one that stuck with it.
Does he have, like, a major movie that he's filming right now?
He's promoting Baywatch.
I don't know if he's filming something right now, though.
He's filming something always. I think he's still filming Jumanji. He might have started Rampage by now. I think Rampage has started rolling.
Because you know what would be fun? If, like, last minute he just came out for the Andre.
Yeah.
That would be fun. And then, you know, whoever eliminates him could get buried by him on a later show. You know what I mean?
What if that was Ellsworth? You're going to beat The Rock at WrestleMania this year, son.
You're going to trip, fall, and accidentally eliminate The Rock from a battle royal. Oh, man. I really tickle myself sometimes.
What else happened this week? What else do you need to address?
Well, we didn't really last week talk about the changes going on. Or did we talk about the changes going on at Impact? I don't remember if we did or not.
The changes are it's more the same. Like,
yeah.
They spent,
before they all left, well, when Dixie was still there, they all came back and basically were going,
well, they had,
shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, they had their new episode of, you know, this Impact, not that Impact. And I was like, and let's just talk about how we're real wrestling and better than WWE.
So
and
let me ask you something, because so the wrestling promotion is called Impact now.
Yes.
Like, no TNA.
No TNA.
It's called Impact.
Uh-huh.
What is their weekly show called?
It's Impact.
It's Impact's Impact?
Yeah, I guess so.
Interesting.
It's very interesting. It's like Lucha Underground, mm-hmm. where it's called Lucha Underground, and their weekly show is Lucha Underground. You should watch Lucha Underground, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
It's that level of that branding.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was all nothing but like, this is all new, all different, and it's like literally the exact same thing.
Yeah,
down to a guy who WWE doesn't want anymore came and won your championship on the first night.
And from what I understand, he's already given up.
Like,
it's... On YouTube?
Yeah.
Which exactly... Didn't they do that with Matt Hardy a couple years ago?
Yeah, so...
Like, they made him, like, give it up on a YouTube video? Not even on their show?
Yeah, so...
Good times.
Whatever dysfunctionality that exists in that backstage has not been rooted out.
No, God, no.
So...
If anything, it's been nurtured.
But whatever, I meant that... It's one of those things like, the thing that makes you sick is what's keeping you alive. So,
fair enough. I do want to say I did watch the 50th anniversary show for Ring of Honor.
Uh-huh.
Mostly just out of curiosity, because I was like, I wonder how they handled the Hardys thing, because,
right,
you know, you heard about all, and I think that's what I wanted to touch on last week, was the whole Hardys leaving, Impact's threatening to sue, Matt Hardy's wife is going nuts on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it turns out, I forget who the cable carrier was, but they basically pulled out of, might have been DirecTV, pulled out of showing their pay-per-view. And then whenever they got to the actual match, they didn't really have an entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the music played, the lights went out, and then lights went up. They're in the ring.
Yeah.
And they were never referred to as Broken Matt or Brother Nero or anything. They were just called, like, Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still had the same, like...
But they had the gear, they had the hair.
But the announce team, which had Colt Cabana on, it was kind of fun. The announce team just referred to them as Matt and Jeff Hardy. Now, that tag team match was insane.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. It was the triple threat with Roppongi Vice, the Young Bucks, and Hardys.
All right, that sounds good.
Not Trent Beretta, the other guy in Roppongi Vice. Rocky Romero.
Mm-hmm.
He had, you know, one of those like those basketball sleeves that like full arm sleeve that they just kind of pull over. He got one of those, but it was covered in thumbtacks.
Uh-huh.
And just went on a just a lariat rampage. Everybody was in the corner. He just went crazy. Trent Beretta came out with a bag of thumbtacks, mm-hmm. poured it out, turned around on him. The Young Bucks kind of overpowered him, took some thumbtacks, put it in Trent Beretta's mouth, held his head up, and the other Young Buck came out and super kicked him right in the face. I made that same face.
Good job, guy. Like,
And if you ever wanted to... legit watch somebody's leg snap. That happened in an earlier match. I can't remember the guy's name, but I know there's a lot of support for him on Twitter, people trying to raise money for him.
Okay.
I hope he gets well soon.
Yes.
But all in all, it is a fantastic pay-per-view, and I suggest everyone go watch it. My personal favorite was Leo Rush. He's a newcomer for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's only been wrestling, I think they said a year and a half, 2 years maybe.
Oh, wow. All right.
Going up against, I want to say he was up against Bobby Fish.
Okay.
I might be wrong on that. I don't remember the card right off the top of my head. But whatever match that Leo Rush was in,
mm-hmm.
was incredible. It was an incredible match. And, of course, the main event where... you know, you get that big payoff at the end. I don't want to ruin anything for anyone wondering, but
yeah.
there's a good payoff at the end.
All right.
That, like, again, like, I'm not even a huge Ring of Honor fan, and I'm not exactly a huge fan of some of the guys in the show, but just watching it, you'll still get chills, you know?
Yeah.
And Colt Cabana on commentary was amazing. they did make a few lawyer jokes.
Oh, yeah? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, I absolutely recommend that to everyone.
I do want to bring up, did you watch Bring It to the Table?
Yes, I did.
So it's The second episode.
This one felt a little bit less, you know, yell at the fans than the first one did. The first one felt really like shaking their fist at the fans.
Yeah.
This one, a little bit less. Maybe that Heyman wasn't there.
Well, I feel like the first one had a lot to cover since it was, here's a lot of longstanding things that we're going to address.
This one was, here's some stuff that we couldn't fit into that show and some things that happened here and then. Yeah.
Here's some things in the past 6 weeks to talk about. And so, Heyman wasn't there. Corey Graves filled in for him. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like, because it had that same interesting blend of in kayfabe, out of kayfabe thing.
Sure. Yeah,
like there's one point where JBL literally says, he's like, you know, I was accused of this. That wasn't true. We did it for story.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, man. All right.
I don't remember what the storyline was for that.
No.
I know that was during that time. That was back during when I think neither of us were really big.
It was when Miz was kicked out of the locker room
for eating chicken above somebody's bag.
And so apparently in storyline, they gave that
right
to JBL. JBL was quote unquote the one that kicked him out. It was very weird to see him differentiate that. It was like, that was what the storyline was. That didn't really happen.
But I didn't do that. Yeah.
Right. It felt like they started the show very much in kayfabe, and as they got further into the show,
they loosened up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is not a bad way to run it, I feel.
I will say this, because they didn't really talk about it. They referenced it more than anything. I'm kind of sad that Legends with JBL was canceled.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed those one-on-one interviews. I don't know, maybe they got... maybe they decided to punish JBL for asking everyone that came across, you know, that asking everyone that he interviewed that, hey, is Hulk Hogan a racist? Because he did that with Booker T, and he did it again with Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, all right, we covered it.
I don't know what Legends was able to do that the Stone Cold podcast wasn't able to do.
True.
Other than they can get JBL more because he's there every week.
Yeah.
So they only have to coordinate one schedule instead of two.
I don't know. I thought those interviews were...
They weren't bad. I didn't mind them. It kind of feels like because they have the Stone Cold podcast... And then sometimes Jericho.
They haven't had a Stone Cold podcast in a long
They've
time,
not, but like they also have like the highlight reel, and they have Mick Foley doing interviews.
Mick Foley doing one interview because Stone Cold's schedule couldn't
right. match up. But there's that. Plus, they have Table for Three stuff on there.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, Ride Along is also just like people talking about the business.
Sure.
One more or less show about people talking about the business doesn't strike me as a great loss or a great victory. Not that I minded the ones that I saw. I liked them. If there had been more, I would not have hated that.
Yeah. Well, with the Stone Cold podcast, it's a little bit looser, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more... Not flying by the seat, but like because he still has topics he wants to cover. JBL seems a little bit more...
I just
like he's kind of thought out exactly how he wants the interview to go.
I feel like
or somebody has
there's a very good chance that this show will be replaced with another show about the great ones talking about their time. And
I want to just again throw this back out there. We were promised a Stone Cold podcast with The Undertaker 2 years ago.
Yeah,
just want to throw that out there. Whoever is, you know, the force stopping that, probably Undertaker, needs to stop it.
Yeah, I want to see that. And I'm ready for somebody to interview Vince again.
Yeah.
Like... It was right after CM Punk. Because that was, like, the first acknowledgement of it. We were like, is he going to do it? Is he going to talk about Punk? Oh, is this going to happen? This might be the first chance to talk about Punk.
Right. So it was about, like, 8-9 months after the network.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was after Punk's Thanksgiving podcast with... Cool.
Right.
I'm ready for that. You know, ready to see, because I mean, it's going to be a lot of the same answers, I'm sure, especially when it comes to like, hey, are you listening to the fans? He's like, yeah, of course I'm listening to the fans. We're all going to be sitting at our TVs just shaking.
Liar.
Like, no.
Liar.
Like,
nope.
Stop it.
Well,
and there's no one reaching for the brass ring. Like, everyone is reaching for this dumb brass ring.
Well, and mostly it's, I would like specific names. Like, I really enjoyed it. It was like, Cesaro. What? Why not Cesaro?
Well, Stone Cold did that.
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
Vince was like, he's not connecting. We're like, how in the world has he not connected?
But I like the thing that appealed to me and why I would be interested in another one is that Stone Cold brought up very specific examples.
Sure.
Like that. So, but yeah, that's... I would have been fine with more legends, but I'm not...
Yeah.
It wasn't the pillar of the network for me.
No, not at all.
I
will say, like, as far as weekly content, not in ring, it's starting to feel pretty dry.
Yeah.
Like, it's few and far between. Is like, okay, have we exhausted all of their
ideas
to making content? Now, I will say this. Something that is supposed to be premiering
Friday.
Today interests me a lot, and I'm actually going to pull out my phone yet again in this podcast to see if maybe, just maybe, it's already hit the network. Because it is. We're recording this 12:30, so it is technically Friday. I forget what it's actually called.
It's called Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Southpaw Regional Wrestling. And it looks like the physical embodiment of the Talking Shop podcast with, well, now it's on Jericho's podcast, but it's the show that... Gallows and Anderson originally started while they were in New Japan with Rocky Romero, and they would just have... I'm searching for it. Nothing's coming up. Okay. They would just have like these ridiculous side characters, which is just them doing like really bad impersonations.
Not really impersonations. They were making up
Their
accents.
Making up accents. They did Stone Cold's accent a lot. Yeah. And Gallows... Gallows's Finkel cracks me up every time. But it seems like it's everyone else on the roster coming up with these crazy characters with your announced team, which looks like it's Cena and Fandango.
Maybe.
And Fandango possibly wearing a fat suit.
Okay, it looks like...
it looks ridiculous.
It looks like a take on regional... territory wrestling, specifically Southern regional territory wrestling. I
would just like it for at least be a half hour. Like, I'm tired of these 10-minute shows.
I mean, obviously, all we've gotten is an out-of-nowhere 90-second video
right,
of
so
it.
We don't know what it is at all.
If it's an actual wrestling show, if it's just promos, if it's an hour long or half hour or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We don't know how much they're willing to go into anything.
Yeah.
And then this thing is like, you know what? Camp WWE really hit on some things. They're like, oh, I didn't know they'd let them address that.
Right.
And at the same time, remember Cheap Shots, which was one episode long, where it was like, never again.
What was Cheap Shots?
The video, the other animated show that they were going to do with Zoo Safari Kane, Surfer Kane. Brock Lesnar's hunting show.
Oh, it was like, that was before the network.
It was pre-network.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Now, yeah, and they took that down quick. Man, I forgot. We were excited about that.
Yeah,
it looked pretty funny.
I really hope like this does strike me as like I really hope this isn't mean-spirited. Like, it's.
Mean-spirited towards who?
Towards independent wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Towards any sort of indie talent trying to make it kind of thing.
Right.
Like,
I'm okay if they're focused on, like, you know, regional wrestling from, like, the 90s, 80s.
There's a lot of...
Because that's what it feels like.
There's a lot of humor in the charm of the enthusiasm of wrestling of a bygone era.
And the only...
My worry is it'll be like, isn't all cheap wrestling stupid?
Right.
Because it's like, so these people working their hearts out sometimes.
Yeah, because I know, what was it? I forgot what they called it, but Colt Cabana and comedian and some comedian friends or whatever did a thing where they would kind of Mystery Science Theater like bad wrestling, and you know they got a little, they got some heat for it because it's like, okay, well you're now you're making fun of the craft, you know, but you've got to admit there's some pretty bad wrestling that kind of deserves to be made fun of.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if they're gonna go that far with it. I think I'm hoping that's not what
I also think there's a very big difference between Colt Cabana making fun of bad wrestling and WWE making fun of bad wrestling.
It's a little bit of the, you know,
the punching down versus
the kid burning ants with a magnifying glass. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. It's you're punching down people that can't exactly fight back because they don't have the means to.
Mm-hmm. And again,
the only explanation I've seen of what the show might possibly is just like, this is ways that these guys try to entertain each other behind the scenes, and now we just, you know, we gave them a little bit of a budget, some costuming, and put a camera in front of it.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know.
Again, like the weird JBL and Cole show with
that was so much fun.
Yeah, like they
had a weird narrative.
They have the absurdity talent back there.
Made me wish that they would actually do a storyline with Heath Slater as JBL's nephew, I think.
Was he?
Yeah. He was his nephew that got a job at headquarters.
Yeah.
I forgot what his
Clem?
Name was.
Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah, Clem Layfield, yeah.
But no, you are right. There is, it does feel like part of the promise of the network was, the promise of the network was threefold. It was all the pay-per-views, it was the massive library, access to the library, and it was original programming.
Right. Original programming part seems to have kind of...
They...
Not necessarily fallen by the wayside, because you did get Holy Foley, and that just didn't hit with me.
But they have not had their House of Cards yet. They have not had their original programming reason to get the network. If for whatever reason, if the other two pillars are not enough to get you to get the network, like original WWE based programming isn't going to be the thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything that would hook anybody just on its own.
But
like Breaking Ground would probably be the closest they've came to that, because Breaking Ground was really good. But yeah, that's about as close.
But I do feel like
the Stone Cold podcasts.
Yeah, but I don't feel like they've had anything where I'm excited for season two. I guess
right.
Like the closest thing for me would be they had the Monday Night War documentary.
Right,
and I thought that was.
And then we watched a few episodes, like, oh, okay, this is a lot of revisionist history. A lot of the winner gets to write history, kind of thing.
And so I would be interested in some more stuff even further back.
Yeah.
If they, you know, they apparently have the footage, if they still had the people to interview kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like the countdown shows, I'm like, well, that feels very filler. And like,
I wonder if they could get they probably wouldn't, but just like their close relationship let like them put the XFL documentary on the network.
I would honestly be very interested.
What if they put up like XFL games?
The games, like I wouldn't watch all of them, but I'd watch the first one and I'd watch the last one.
Yeah, the one at Soldier Field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of like who would own the footage, and who would, and if that person actually gave a crap. If
yeah,
he's like, if it belonged to NBC Universal, you know, like, hey, we're using this footage, and they're like, oh, we have that? No, we don't care.
Yeah, so I still feel like I'm waiting for the true great original programming breakout. Mm-hmm. In all honesty.
And also, the original programming is so irregular.
It is.
You never know when new content's going to come out, or if they do have a new content that comes out, if it's going to be every week. Like, we didn't know what Bring It to the Table was gonna be
until it didn't show up the next week. You're right. Like, oh, I guess this is a sometimes show.
It's like, maybe it's a one-off, and then it just ran like, hey, there's gonna be one tomorrow night. You know, they don't tell you until like right before. Now, they did say there were going to do one from WrestleMania that's gonna be aired the 30th, I think, the same day.
But then a little bit of that is like, it took you 6 weeks to get enough information for a second one.
Right.
What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, what are we going to talk about the third one? I guess more WrestleMania-specific stuff. But I feel like the majority of it is going to be like, look how great WrestleMania is.
Well, that's the thing. Is like I really enjoyed the first one, and I enjoyed the second enough. I don't want this to just devolve into like, what'd you think about this? Oh, I loved it. What'd you think about this? Best thing ever. Yeah. All right, good job, everyone.
I would like
high fives all around.
I would like if they brought back in some way the like Legends of Wrestling like roundtable that they, you know, and a lot of them were out of kayfabe, but I don't know. I would be interested in seeing that in some fashion.
Yeah.
And you can have because Mean Gene doesn't do a whole lot anymore, and JR is, you know, happy doing his own thing right now. You can easily have JBL moderate that stuff, you know, and he probably wouldn't get too drunk to the point where he couldn't control a panel.
Yeah.
So, I would like to see something like that, like a round table. I guess we kind of get that with Table for Three.
Yeah.
But it's so, like,
I
sliced and diced and easily packaged in 30 minutes. I want, like a long-form, uncut, you know,
yeah,
form of it.
So, a lot of what I want, I know WWE will never give to me because they want the WWE revisionist history of everything.
Oh, sure, yeah.
A third-party documentary on Vince McMahon is, you know, the dream.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to.
That would have the access, like, of Wrestling with Shadows.
Right. And, the sad thing is we're never going to get that while Vince is live, even though Vince is, like, the one person, like, the one talking head that you want on that documentary, you know?
Yeah.
But then again, I never would have imagined there would have been an XFL documentary.
That's true.
You know? So, maybe, I can't remember the guy's name.
Maybe 30 for 30 is the weird place to do that.
Well, I mean, it was more so than that. It was Dick Ebersol's son.
Right.
Who was, like, for a while, almost like a member of the family to the McMahons back in the day. So, maybe he's the link,
If there is, like, if 30 for 30 is doing something on Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Like, okay, maybe.
And that's a different director, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't go well, we can go back to Dick Ebersol's son and be like, all right, we trust you. How about you make this documentary about Vince or whatever?
All right. Do you have anything else this week?
Nope, I think I'm good.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet when we live tweet. There's so much wrestling now.
Graceful way to put it. Oh, quick. Who do you got winning your bracket?
For?
NCAA.
UNC.
Yeah, you do.
It's always UNC.
Duke UNC for the championship?
No, just UNC for the championship.
How dare you?
Duke can burn. I don't want to.
Fair enough.
We were up by 10. We were up by 10 in that stupid game.
I know.
We think we lost by 8.
Yeah, it's the ACC championship. That championship is so nothing. It's so nothing when you got
UNC.
The NCAA.
UNC.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Me too. And if you have any questions, comments, if you want to tell us who you got winning your bracket, send that over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are on iTunes. Easiest way to follow the podcast. You subscribe. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast metrics.
And if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And we are soon coming out with our Clashy Ring Attire review of WrestleMania 32 coming up, I believe, the Monday before WrestleMania.
Yes. And we're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Absolutely.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.